Welcome to the first praise raising, and I'm hoping it won't be the last. We're very excited to have you here, and we've prayed over this and we've planned it, and we are just looking forward to a time of praising the Lord together. I have a couple of announcements to make. Doesn't look like we need it at the moment, but there is childcare available. Don't see any children, so we'll just pass that along if they come in. Dr. Mattson has arranged for Williamson to be open after we are finished up here, and the rec room downstairs is going to be open. There's going to be sodas and popcorn, big screen TV is going to be on football. There's a foosball table, a pool table, so if you feel like you're just not finished and you want a fellowship, head on over to Williamson. I kind of wanted to share how this all came to be. This summer, when I was having my own praise and worship time with the Lord, I just felt like He was leading me to have a gathering of all of us here on campus and our visitors for the specific purpose of praising Him. And I've done some thinking about that this certainly goes back to biblical days. I thought about King David when he was just so overwhelmed with the graciousness and the forgiveness of the Lord that he literally danced in the street. His wife wasn't too happy, but it didn't hold him back. I also thought about Hannah and the song of praise that she just had to express to the Lord. And it really, I don't think it was only because God heard her and gave her a son. I think it's because He answered her prayer. And God certainly does that for all of us. And as Nazarenes, we have a rich heritage going back to the first meetings of the Nazarene church. They met in a barn-like structure that was very plain, but it is said that the very boards on the walls shone with the glory of the Lord, and it became known as the Glory Barn. So that's kind of what we're wanting to set up here tonight. You know, it doesn't matter how our praise and our worship is expressed. It's because of God's great grace and love and mercy that's been lavished on us. So I want us to praise God tonight, not only for what He's done, but for who He is. And we want to raise the roof with praise. And I'd like to introduce to you our very own NBC band and Brian Umpenauer and the Shea Band. Welcome them.
You guys excited to worship God tonight? All right.
My honest praise, of my honest.
just open up tonight. We want to come before you and just lift your name up, Father. Everything we do in this place is for you. We want to see your name lifted high.
Empty-handed, but alive in your hands. singing majesty forever. I am changed by your love in the presence of your majesty.
guys a song. It comes from Psalm 85. It says, "You showed favor to your land, O Lord. You restored the fortunes of Jacob. You forgave the iniquity of your people and covered all their sins. You set aside all your wrath and you turned from your fierce anger. Restore us again, O God, our Savior, and put away your displeasure toward us. Will you be angry with us forever? Will you prolong your anger through all your generations? Will you not revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your unfailing love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to his people, his saints, but let them not return to folly. Surely his salvation is near those who fear him, and his glory may dwell in our land. Love and faithfulness meet together. Righteousness and peace kiss each other. Faithfulness springs forth from the earth, and righteousness looks down from heaven. The Lord will indeed give what is good, and our land will yield its harvest. Righteousness goes before him and prepares the way for his steps." Isn't it great to serve our God? Amen.
Brought us here to alter history.
Father, we lift your name up. We are yours tonight. Just dwell in this house, Father. Dwell in everything that we do in our lives, day to day, Father. No matter what happens, just dwell in us, Father. We live this life for you. We lift up your name. Amen. Yes, may be seated.
Thank you, band. That's great. I agree. Give them a hand. They'll be back. Well, I might forget something, so I'm going to have my paper here. It's my privilege to introduce Scott Phillips, our guest musician and recording artist. I am going to quote some things from Scott's website. He is married, and he currently lives near Nashville, Tennessee, with his, this is straight from his website, his super pretty wife, Carol Jean, his six-month-old son, Liam, and his dog, Mally, who, as it turns out, is the executive producer on his latest album. Scott's message is a direct one, often driving home the message of grace, as well as the importance of authentic community, both locally and globally. Paul Johnson, a pastor from Illinois, has said about Scott's ministry, "When Scott grabs his guitar, you find yourself relaxing because you feel like he is just one of you. You never feel like you are being sung to or spoken at, but a sense of ministering with. It is apparent that the Holy Spirit has been invited to do his work," as Scott shares. Scott is a songwriter with BMG, Brentwood Benson. He has been a full-time independent artist for about 5 years and has released 3 full-length CDs and has another one on the way in December. Scott supports his family through this ministry, so I know you'll be generous at the end when we take a love offering for him. His CDs will also be available for you in the back. Let's welcome our brother Scott Phillips with a warm NBC welcome as he comes to minister with us.
Hi. Forgot I had all that on my site. I have to change some of that. So I'm here in Colorado, so I figured I'd let my facial hair grow, be a mountain man for the weekend. Hope that's okay. I'm glad you're here. Because if you weren't here, I would be singing to an empty auditorium. Thank you guys for that music and worship. That was awesome. Pretty good for bands been together for what, 3 days? Really cool. Good job. just one of those days, and I can't seem to shake the doubts. Well, it attacks my faith and does its best to wipe it out. But in the light of certainty, faith is of no need to me. Without doubt, it would not exist. So I better get used to this. You say you love me, but I don't know why you would. And though I try, still I'm nothing close to good. I'd love to trust you blind, but I don't know if I could. But you hold me and you know me and you tell me that I should. Hey, na 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 na, I should. But how can I afford, or to feel the way I do? It's like walking a tightrope, Lord, and it's hard to balance here with you. But then I hear that what is real does not depend on how I feel. Your love is a constant thing, it doesn't matter which way my mood swings. You say you love me, but I don't know why you would. And though I try, still I'm nothing close to good. I'd love to trust you blind, but I don't know if I could. But you hold me and you know me and you tell me that I should. Hey, na 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 na, I should. You say you love me, but I don't know why you would. And though I try, still I'm nothing close to good. I'd love to trust you blind, but I don't know if I could. But you hold me and you know me and you tell me you. Oh, you say you love me, but I don't know why you would. And though I try, still I'm nothing close to good. I'd love to trust you blind, but I don't know if I could. But you hold me and you know me and you tell me that I should. Hey, na 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 na, I should. Oh, 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 I should. Hey, na 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 na, I should. Oh, just like a little child, I should.
Sing a little nursery rhyme for you.
There is a man in me who is already free, but I'm just waiting for him and I to meet. He's who I'm meant to be, but I'm just waiting. And somewhere underneath, beyond what I can see, a heart is beating. A heart as pure and clean as newborn babies' dreams. I feel it leading. And all because Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was stained with blood. And everyone who killed the man was the target of his love. Oh. It's enough to know that I'm a son in the battles yet to overcome. It's grace transcending, because the war is already won.
You know the bleeding and the dying's done. Oh, brother, what a happy ending. And it's all because Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was stained with blood. And everyone who killed a man was the target of his love. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Well, every crime in my history, every crime that is yet to be, disappeared when I first believed. Whoa. So when the sun shines down on me, when the dark overshadows me, everywhere I've yet to be, the Lamb is sure to go. The Lamb is sure to go. Oh, oh, oh. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was wide enough. Oh, to save the soul of every man, and to come to us, to capture us, to cover us with love. Mary had a little lamb. His fleece was stained with blood. Oh, and everyone who killed a man was the target of his love. Whoa. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Thank you. Yeah, I was just sitting thinking one day, I started singing that song, I don't know why, singing Mary Had a Little Lamb, and I was like, man, that is so theologically correct in so many ways. I followed her to school one day, which was against the rules. You know, just, I don't know, it was just kind of profound what a simple little song. So I thought, you know, I had to write the song and rewrite the song. I guess after I wrote it, though, I guess Garth Brooks has already done one. So he's got a song that kind of plays on that same thing. So if you've heard that, I didn't copy him. I just wrote the song. I don't listen to country, so. So, you know, I grew up in. I told you I never do that, didn't I? So I grew up in a family with four boys, the second of four boys, and we were really good at fighting. We were really good at getting angry. There's a lot of testosterone in our family, and so, you know, all the macho stuff we were really good at. We were good at laughing, crude jokes, whatever. As long as it was a good, funny joke, we'd laugh. But you know, there were things that atmosphere in my family, we didn't foster a safe place to hurt, a safe place to allow people to feel, to connect with our emotions, and. So things, you know, like pain and sorrow and grief, loss, those kind of things we just kind of brushed over them with jokes, and or we'd release that energy with, you know, beating up on the younger one, and the youngest one would, I don't know what he would do, he'd go tell mom, and she'd beat up on us. And so not really, my mom didn't beat up on us, but. But you know, it wasn't a safe environment to be honest, and it was a Christian home. It was we had great Christian parents who did their best by us. But you know, it just wasn't a safe environment. And you know, as I've grown up and kind of moved into the church in my own independent faith, and you know, I don't rely on my parents' faith anymore. I have my own. It's become real to me. And I'm part of a bigger family in the church. And the sad thing is I found that our church family functions in much the same way, and that we don't foster as well as we could
a safe place for people to be honest. And the difficulty that we find with that is that everybody has their own secrets. And that we're afraid that if we, you know, what shame does to us is it teaches us that we're unique in what we go through. And that we shouldn't talk to other people because we'll be rejected, thrown out. And our deep need to belong somehow trumps our deep need for community and authenticity. And so we kind of isolate ourselves. At least I have. That's my tendency. And that's why things, you know, there are addictions running rampant. That's why I believe that the divorce rate is just as high or higher within the Christian world. Men addicted to pornography. And it's tearing up families. It's destroying churches because leaders are being found out. And the grace is not there when a leader falls. And so what I've been doing as I travel around is talking kind of about my own story, because I grew up with secrets, and I was in a family that encouraged that, you know, not verbally, but by every other language they encouraged it. And so then I got married, and I had a wife who wanted to know her husband, who wanted really to know me. And she would poke and prod and ask all these questions about what hurt me and what I struggled with. And she called it intimacy. To me at the time, I called it nagging. I just wanted her to stay off my back, you know, and just, you know, when I wanted to talk and hang out, then we could do that, but not get too deep. Let's keep it on the surface. And I realized real quick that that's not the way a marriage should function. We're meant to know each other and to be intimate, to have that intimacy. And so I embarked on a long journey. Long for me, but I embarked on a journey that kind of led me into a group of guys who were being honest with each other, and where it was a safe place to do that. I think when I think about our Christian relationships, I think one of the best models, a friend of mine shared this with me, one of the best models is that of David and Jonathan. When David, who was the next anointed king of Israel, and Jonathan, who was the son of the king, the current king, Jonathan had every right politically it would have been a great move to take David out. But instead, he stood before David and he did something very profound. He took off his armor and he handed it to him. Then he took his weapons, things that David could hurt him with, and he gave them to him as well. And on the basis of that vulnerability, they formed a friendship that outlasted them both. It was a covenant. And so in my relationships now, I try to take that approach where if I want it to be a meaningful relationship, which I do with most people I meet, if I want it to be a meaningful relationship, it involves me having to take off my defenses, my armor, and laying it at their feet. And a lot of times it involves me giving them things that they might be able to hurt me with later on. But what I found is that on the basis of that vulnerability, we form a friendship that is tighter and closer than anything that could have happened before without that. Because the Bible tells us that no temptation has overtaken us except that which is common to man. We are not unique in our struggles, the things we deal with. It is not unique, I promise you. Look to your right, look to your left, and there's someone who's dealing with it or has dealt with it. So that's kind of what this next song is about. It's about my journey the beginnings of my journey out of my voluntary solitary confinement, out of isolation and into intimacy, community. It's called Hide and Seek.
Champion of hide and seek, no one ever finds me, but many have tried, but I've found to keep the perfect hiding place. The secret's not to give away what happens inside. Then you will be the only one who knows. You'll think you've got control, but it's not the way it goes. But I don't want it to be this way anymore. No, I don't want it to be this way anymore. My thoughts are running away. They're thinking me instead, and it's out of my control. But here's hope. I found it in a flag of white, lifted up into the sky, surrendered myself. The more control you try to gain, the more control you lose. To what you've done to get control is now controlling you. But I don't want it to be this way anymore. No, I don't want it to be this way anymore. My thoughts are running away with my head. They're thinking me instead, and it's out of my control. This hiding place is I've been here so many days, and I can't seem to find my way back home. So I will send a signal flare, attach it to a simple prayer, and hope to find someone who cares to help. Save me from myself. But I don't want it to be this way anymore. No, I don't want it to be this way anymore. My thoughts are running away with my head. Yeah, they're thinking me it's, but it's out of my control. Thank you.
thanks. So you know what I found? When I get in those modes where I'm feeling particularly isolated, maybe extra frustrated or stressed or tempted, or in those times I think, okay, who do I need to reach out to? And that's becoming the reflex, as opposed to, oh no, I've got to go take care of this on my own. Because when Jesus called us, when he offered us a personal relationship, he didn't offer us a private one. His prayer was that we as a people would be unified, like he and his Father in heaven are. That's a tight bond, because they're one and the same. And for us in the body of Christ to function that way, we've got to be pretty tightly knit. And I tell you, that means a lot more than coming to church once a week. Because it isn't about the building that we attend anymore. It's about who we are. We are the church. We are the body. And you know, what I find is that when I meet someone, you know, I'll forget their name right off the bat, a lot of the time. And I won't be making eye contact with them. And during the conversation, I'll be thinking about what I want to say next. And I'll be thinking about where I want to go next or what I want to do next. And in the process, I miss altogether this amazing connection that I could have with another person in the body of Christ, or with just another human being. And what I find is that it involves me, if I want to connect with someone, it involves me taking myself outside of the center of the universe, just removing myself and putting God there where he belongs. And suddenly I start to feel things. I'm looking people in the eye and I'm hearing their story, and my body is reacting physically. And I'm feeling what is called compassion, because I'm allowing myself to get into that person's life, as opposed to just letting mine run through my head as they talk at me. And that's been my deal for about 27 years. And it still continues to be an issue, but I'm working on it, and it involves me stepping outside of the center. So, having said that, I'm going to take a drink of water and sing another song.
Well, there's only room for one of us in the center of the universe. And I know that you were there at first, in the center of the universe. Well, I haven't seen or heard from you in ages, give or take a few. But I can't pretend I'm trying to, long as I'm here instead of you. Well, I can't remember the last time I cried, the last time I felt something moving inside me. Seems I've forgotten the fact that you died, you gave up your own home, you stepped down from your throne in the center of the universe. Well, I hope your love is breaking in, will come penetrate this callous skin, melt down the ice and burn within, and take your rightful place again. Well, I can't remember the last time I cried, the last time I felt something moving inside me. Seems I've forgotten the fact that you died. You gave up your own home. You stepped down from your throne in the center of the I felt something moving inside me. Seems I've forgotten the fact that you died. You gave up your own home. You stepped down from your throne in the center of the universe. There's only room for one of us in the center of the universe. And I know that you were there at first.
Thank you.
You were out of place. Weren't meant for a world like this. This is not your home. Not really. Suffering seems never ending, but soon enough, oh soon enough, when it's time to come home, the lights will be on, your dreams come to life, and your nightmares are gone. When it's time to come home, you're more than just a guest. The doors have been unlocked, so come in and find your rest, 'cause I've prepared a place. Oh, I've prepared a place. There will be a day when you can tell the sheep from the wolves, when the shepherd of the flock who seeks and saves the lost comes to call, and he'll come to call. When it's time to come home, the lights will be on, your dreams come to life, and your nightmares are gone. When it's time to come home, you're more than just a guest. The doors have been unlocked, so come in and find your rest. 'Cause I've prepared a place, but the barricade of sin has thrown away the key, but my blood will get you in. So when it's time to come home, the lights will be on, your dreams come to life, and your nightmares are gone. When it's time to come home, you're more than just a guest. Oh, the doors have been unlocked, so come in and find your rest. 'Cause I've prepared. I've prepared a place. Oh, I've prepared a place. And when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. When we all see Jesus, we'll sing and shout the victory.
It begins with one. In an average life, your heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times.
2.5 billion times.
Billion times.
Never resting.
Every hour, every day.
Always searching.
For where your treasure is,
there your heart will be also.
You only have one. One heart. One life.
I only have one life.
I only have one life.
What will you do?
In America, like no other place in the world, you have choices.
To whom much is given.
Opportunities.
Much will be required.
Is it safe to drink water in your country?
Do Americans really eat 3 times a day?
Are there schools in your country for every child?
The truth is alarming. AIDS is destroying Africa. In some countries, 1 out of every 4 people is infected and suffering from the disease. AIDS is wiping out an entire generation, leaving behind more than 10 million orphans.
Who takes care of all the orphans in your country?
Are you tired of people saying there's nothing you can do?
The problem is too big.
One person can't change the world.
Are you going to sit back and watch?
I only have one.
I only have one life. One heart.
Or are you going to do something?
You only have one.
I will be strong.
I want to be an engineer.
I will be a teacher.
I want to be a nurse.
I can live a long time.
The book of James tells us that God our Father accepts pure and faultless religion as this, to look after widows and orphans in their distress. Well, the pandemic of AIDS is creating more widows and more orphans than any other disease, pestilence, famine, war, and history. And we in America have unique choices and opportunities that many other people around the world don't have, and that we have financial resources to help this kind of issue. Not just with AIDS, but with poverty, with hunger, with thirst. I represent an organization called World Vision. They're the world's largest Christian relief and development organization, and I'm blessed to be able to be partnered with them. And I want to give you an opportunity tonight to partner with them as well. World Vision is in over 100 countries worldwide, and millions of kids over the past 50 years have been sponsored, and their lives have been affected to help break the cycle of poverty. Not just in one child, but in entire communities, entire countries. I've been to countries. I've seen what it's like. I've been to Romania. I've seen children being tossed in the street and left to die. I met a girl named Cassie one time who was 4 years old at the time. When she was 9 months old, her mother abandoned her in a shoebox, left her in an alley, and she weighed under 5 pounds when they found her at 9 months old. And it was because her mother didn't have the means to take care of her. Because poverty is a real thing, and we don't experience it quite like the rest of the world does here in America. We don't see it like they do. There are entire communities going blind because their water supply is so polluted. It's poisoning them, and it's affecting their eyesight and giving them diarrhea, and not diarrhea in the sense that we experience it, but in the deadly kind, in that sense. I've seen the impact that World Vision has on communities. I went to the Dominican Republic this last December, and it's more than just a child who's impacted. I met a woman who was in her 60s. She was a single woman named Cecilia. World Vision had loaned her a sewing machine, because that's what they do. Also, they provide more than just nutritious food and water. And an education and shelter and clothing. They go into a community and they help give, they give people loans to start small businesses, and they train farmers to raise crops and to learn about irrigation and sanitation, and they train a community to break the cycle themselves, so they're not just giving handout. So this woman, Cecilia, World Vision loaned her a sewing machine. And with the sewing machine, she started to make things and sold them, and she made enough money to buy her own sewing machine and give World Vision theirs back. And then she was self-sustaining, able to make a living for herself, and she didn't just stop there, but she had something in her heart that was telling her to do something. She had what we call gratitude. So she went into her community and she began to adopt children. And Cecilia, a 60-year-old woman, single woman, now has 11 children living in her home who call her mother, because of World Vision having a presence in her community. I've met a little 1-month-old baby who was having the second operation of her lifetime. And the reason she was able to have it, the access to that medical care, was because her older brother was a sponsored child. Saved her life. So I want to encourage you, check it out. World Vision is making a big difference. And with our money, with a dollar a day, we can join them in the fight, and we can help fund their cause. And it's almost like we're supporting the arms and feet, the hands and feet of Christ as it goes out into the world, because not all of us can afford to go out into the world and do this full time. So for as little as a dollar a day, we can make a huge difference in a kid's life, and we can adopt that child into our family, and not actually bring them to our homes, but through letters and email and photos, we can make a relationship with that kid and share the love of Christ with them, and not only the love of Christ, but the hope that it brings. A dollar a day for some of us means giving up a cup of coffee once a day. If you drink your coffee at Starbucks, it means giving up a coffee once a week, maybe. So puts it into perspective. But I want to encourage you. There are packets back there on the table, two different kinds of packets. There's a white packet, which is traditional child sponsorship. It looks after these children in every way that I've just described, and the communities that they're present in. But then there's a brown packet there, which is $5 extra a month. That's $35 a month. They're called the Hope Children, and these kids are directly affected by the AIDS crisis. Said there, 1 in 4. Sometimes some countries, 1 in 4 people are infected. Actually, there are a couple countries where as many as 40% are infected by AIDS. That's 4 out of 10. I don't know anybody in my life who has AIDS. That would be about 12 or 15 of us in here. So the $35 extra, the extra $5 goes toward things like food, goes toward things like prevention and education, awareness, all related to the epidemic of AIDS, counseling for some people who may need it. So I want to encourage you, take a look at those packets. If you choose to sponsor a kid today, I've got CDs back there for sale. You're welcome to buy them. If today's not the day for you to sponsor a kid, that's fine. But I have the CDs back there as well. You're welcome to buy those. I take all sorts of payment, Visa, MasterCard, checks, cash. We can maybe trade something, whatever. But I've got. But if you sponsor a kid tonight, if you pay to sponsor a kid tonight, I'll give you the CDs for free. So that'd be our gift to you. So check it out, and I'm going to do one more song, and then we'll turn it over. So. I want a love that looks past positions, a love just because, not a love with conditions. I can search the whole world and find all kinds of love, but love that is real is love just because. Love that is real is love just because. I've had enough time to learn that love in this world doesn't come without terms. When I offer something of value to you, then suddenly I become valuable too. But I want a love that looks past positions, a love just because, not a love with conditions. I can search the whole world and find all kinds of love, but love that is real is love just because. Well, I can admit that sometimes I reserve and limit my love to the ones who deserve. Still I'm waiting for someone who seeks no returns, a love I can't lose or do something to earn. Deserves recognition, so perfect and deep, it is love's definition. Well, I've searched the whole world, but it came from above. It's a love that is real, it's a love just because. I want a love that looks past positions, a love just because, not a love with conditions. I can search the whole world and find all kinds of love, but love that is real is love just because. Love that is real is love just because. Thank you, guys. Have a great night. God bless you.
Wasn't Scott amazing, guys? Give him another hand. the Savior say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray, find in me thine all in all. 'Cause Jesus paid all to him I owe. Sin had left this crimson stain, he washed it white as snow.
Who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. They asked me to help pull this together, and we want to celebrate the life and death and resurrection of the one who has raised us from the dead. Oh, praise the one who paid my debt and raised this life up from the dead. Amen? Amen. They asked me to help pull this together, and we want to celebrate the life and death and resurrection of the one who has raised us from the dead. I was at Home Depot the other day. It's my favorite toy store. Sometimes I go to Home Depot because I need something. Sometimes I go because I want to get a brat. Anybody know what I'm talking about? So I'm standing in line waiting to get one of the Wisconsin brats with grilled onions and lots of sauerkraut on top, and I put spicy mustard, and that's all you need. And I heard somebody behind me say, this, talking to somebody next to them, I guess, said, I got this. This is on me. And I've been thinking about our time together, and I knew they were going to sing this song. And when I've sung this song since I was a kid. We never sang it this way. But that's exactly the point, isn't it? Jesus saying to us, no, I've got this. This is on me. The reason for your celebration of thanks, the reason why we were able to come together this evening is because Jesus said, no, I've got this. This is on me. The reason why we can sing songs from one end of the generation spectrum to the other is because Jesus says, no, I got this. This is on me. The reason why we have any confidence as Christians at all is because he says to us, no, I've got this. This is on me. And the reason why we use bread and juice is because it helps us remember that this really is on him, isn't it? That there's not anything we can bring to the table that adds to it. There's not anything that we can add to the meal to enhance it. It's a reminder that it took his life and his blood in order for us to be his. It's a reminder that that death and resurrection that happened back then also applies today. It's a reminder that you and I need to remember again and again and again and again that Jesus says to us, I've got this. This is on me. And finally, it reminds us that the hope that he left that day is a hope that continues and continues and continues and continues to apply, because we're just beginning our walk with him. Amen? And so every time we have a question, we can bring it to him and say, okay, I've got that. That's on me. And any of the fears that we have about where we're heading, I've got that. It's on me. And what our service will look like for him, I've got that. That's on me. And the things that we get fussed up about, if you'll give them to me, it's on me. Until the day we see him face to face and he welcomes us and he says, come on in. I've got this. This is on me. Brian's going to do an unplugged version of what we just heard. I want to give you a chance to embrace one more time the reality that Jesus says to all of us in this room. Here's my offer of life. Here's my offer of comfort. Here's my offer of healing. Here's my offer of my presence. Come eat. Come drink. I've got this. It's on me. You'll be welcome to go to one of the three tables that are behind you when you feel like you're ready to go. Someone will offer you bread, and our intention is for you to take that bread and dip it in the cup and then be reminded one more time that our lives in him are on him. He's got it. Jesus paid it all. So when you're ready, partake.
The Savior say, thy strength
Jesus paid all, all to him I owe. Sin had left this crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find thy power and thine alone can change the leper spots, can melt that heart of stone. 'Cause Jesus paid all to him I owe. Sin had left this crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in him comfy, I will lay my trophies down. Jesus paid all, all to him I owe. Sin had left this crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. Sin had left this crimson stain.
Jesus paid it all. Not much more to say than that. Amen? Amen. There are a couple of ways, and I just want to remind you a couple of ways to participate in what happened this evening. I need for you to reach in your wallet and find some green spending money. This evening is actually a melding of about three different dreams. Carla talked to me early in the summer about the possibility of us meeting together. Scott Phillips called me on the phone one day and said, "Hey, do you think I could come sing at the Bible College?" And then Brian and Mo and company showed up, and they wanted to rock the house. And so it all melded together. The offering that I'm about to take is for Scott Phillips. We basically took care of him getting here. I want you to help take care of taking care of him when he gets back home, all right? So in addition to the offering, he does have CDs available. You heard his introduction to World Vision Mission, and I want you to take care of that too. We're going to sing a song while we're doing all this. It says, "Every day it's you I live for." So let's worship together.
What you mean to me now, to save me, Lord. I give all that I am to you, that every day I can be a light that shines your name. Every day, Lord, I learn to stand upon your word, and I pray that I might come to know you more, that you would guide me in every single step I take that. Every day I can be a light unto the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. Every day single step I take that every day I can be alive into the world. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. Every day I walk with you, my Lord. Sing that again. Every day it's you I live for. Every day I follow after you. And walk with you, my Lord. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for every day.
I'm gonna get a little louder now.
It's you I live for every day. It's you I live for. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I follow after you. Every day, I walk with you, my Lord. Every day, it's you I live for. Every day, I follow after you. Every day, I walk with you. It's you I live for.
Okay, so let's do just that, because it's on him. We're dismissed.